And speaking of truth and warriors for the truth, we have the great James McCanney is here. Comes on periodically, of course, one of our absolute favorites. We love him, and so glad he spends time with us. James, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thank you, Daniel. Great to be here.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, if anybody in listening, maybe new people who don't know you, you're a scientist, a Tier 1 scientist. You have taught it to dual subject professorship at Cornell. You were best friends with Carl Sagan. Just kidding. I always have to rip you about that. And you are an absolute expert on computer model or mathematical models about elections and those kind of things. You did a lot with the Donald Trump-Hillary Clinton election. And you see some things coming up here in less than two, three months in the midterms that concern you. And that's the main thing we're going to talk about here in this first segment. So why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, just to recap, November, actually I started around September before the 2016 election. And I started to see trends, and basically I wrote a white paper, which I presented on the Power Hour, by the way, with the 10 top cheating methods that would be used in the 2016 election. And then after the election, I did another analysis, and I added an 11th one, which came out during the Jill Stein recounts, where they were simply doubling the vote for Hillary Clinton at the precinct, when they would write down the vote and then send it up to the next level. And then when they did the recount, they found that the boxes of votes had been, all of them had the tape ripped off, and so they couldn't recount them. And in something like 981 precincts in Detroit, for example, they could not recount because the boxes had been tampered with. So in those three states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, there was tremendous voter fraud at the local level. And so right now we're heading into midterms, and the Democrats are not doing well. Let's just, if you look at their turnout, they even have Obama out thumping the campaign, which is unprecedented. No president, Bush, never did it. Clinton never did it. None of the presidents ever went out and hit the campaign trail if there was a for their political party, and Obama's doing that. So, but the bottom line is there's going to be unprecedented cheating. They thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016, and they were cheating like crazy. She had 17 million cheating votes in that election and still lost. So they know they got to push it to the limit. They got to pull out all the stops because it could be the end of the Democratic Party as we know it. And so their hope is to win the House so they can impeach Trump. That's their goal.
Let me interject here. We saw just recently, a month or so ago, and we had Rick Saccone on last week, who lost the election there in Pennsylvania for the House, the open seat. It was him versus, I can't remember the guy's first name, Lamb, the Democrat. I can't remember his first name, but it was Rick Saccone versus Lamb. And Lamb won by, some narrow margin. They came up with 700-800 votes or whatever. And this is in a district where Trump won by 20 points. Won by 20 points in the election. I just have such a hard time believing that he lost. Can you give us an insight? Because this seems like kind of a portent of things to come.
Exactly. And, yeah, that's exactly what you're going to see in these big race locations. So they are prepping that's their only possible way of winning is to cheat. And so they have, like I say, they couldn't believe that Hillary lost. And oddly enough, she blamed, one of the very first people she blamed was George Bush Sr., who is a Republican. The whole Bush family was behind Hillary Clinton, which is pretty odd. But they, that's the Washington elite. And Trump stood to, dethrone all of them, which he has summarily done. And that's still in process, of course. But, yes, this Pennsylvania race, there's no question in my mind that there was a tremendous amount of cheating that went on there. to, and we're going to see that all over the country.
So you said, you know, on the show, you brought up the 10 methods of cheating. You found an 11th. The more you look, the more you find. This is crazy, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you just go over, maybe explain for the layman, people are listening. Okay, what are some of the ways they're going to cheat, James? You said there's 10. Let's go over a few of the major ones.
Okay, mail-in voting. And so, for example, if you've ever lived in another state, you probably did not unregister to vote when you left, and they will have your name and the fact that you're no longer there on the tax rolls, and you will be voting for the Democratic candidate in that location. That's one. So mail-in votes, pre-voting, and also busing people around from precinct to precinct so that one person, if you had, say, five buses that had 500 people and they each voted 10 times, you know, all of a sudden you have a tremendous potential for swinging a race that's close. That's the second way. Illegal aliens. In many states, they don't have any way to identify illegal aliens who go in and vote. There are many states like, say, I won't give any for example, but many states, illegals can get identification cards and driver's licenses, which will allow them to vote. And so that's a big chunk. Like if you look at Los Angeles or Las Vegas, where there's a big transient community, or even Florida, where there's a big transient community, that's where they can use those people who are transients, who are there for a short period of time and they're gone, to vote for the Democrats. And so, anyway, they are very active in all of these areas. I had 10 different ways, but the one we discovered with the Jill Stein recount was they were actually doubling votes and in these precincts, right at the precinct level before they sent it up. And when they went back to recount, they discovered that the votes were huge on the side of Hillary Clinton and like zero for Trump. And he still won those three states in spite of the fact that they have this tremendous amount of cheating going on. So the reason I'm saying this is people have to get out and vote, because you're not just voting for the candidate. You're voting. Your vote is going to be you have to vote in such numbers that you have to beat the cheating.
All right, let me try to summarize here. So, you know, with the Jill Stein situation, what she was finding in her recount, basically what she found out in her lawsuit was they couldn't do a proper recount because all the votes had been opened, all the ballot boxes, supposedly, you know, you go into a precinct, it's sealed, the manager of the precinct there, you know, who takes an oath or whatever, everybody watches it, the box is supposed to be sealed with the votes, marked, you know, kind of like a boxer's tape on their hand.
There's a special tape.
All those boxes, yes, all those boxes were broken, and they, oh, it just happened to be that every single vote was for Hillary Clinton in the box, every single freaking one, every damn one of them. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But let's go back to illegal. We got a couple minutes or so for the break. Illegal aliens, illegal immigrants. What is the constitutionality of their ability to vote? Is it up to the state to decide this, or in national races,
no,
you know, like president
or what have you?
Let's talk about that.
No. It's only American citizens can vote. Simple. That's the way it is. And what they're doing is trying to bend that, and that's why they want to let as many illegals in as possible, because if they can win certain key districts where they're pushing that, sanctuary cities, et cetera, then the Democratic Party can take over the House. And this is a basically an agenda where they want control at the federal level. And the way they're doing this is pushing this at the local level. So now that's the key to understand. This is being done at the local level.
People may say, boy, you sure are paranoid today, Daniel. Or James, it can't be that bad. If it was that bad, somebody would say something. Ladies and gentlemen, people say stuff all the time. Nobody believes them. I'm going to give you a quick story of a friend of mine, a real good friend of my uncle's. I knew him, also a friend of mine. Here's a 12th way, James, you can add to your list. Here's the number 12 way. Excuse me, a friend of mine. He died a few years ago, so he's not here anymore. He would tell the story. He was in charge of the votes, and you know, the little district, the people get together. It's four or five people that go over the votes in a certain precinct, and their job is to, you know, handle them and make sure everybody's watching everybody. You understand? He was one of them. This is in Georgia in 2008, the first Obama election. When they go and they're about to count the votes, the box was sealed. They're about to all go and count the votes like they're supposed to do. He says the FBI busted through the doors and says, we're taking those votes. We're taking that box. And he said, no, you're not. They all did. All four of them said, no, you're not. You can't do this. This is our, you cannot take this box. You have no authority, no jurisdiction here. Then they pulled a gun on him and said, we are taking that box. Well, Bob, my friend, my uncle's a real good friend, said, well, you got to show me some ID. So show the badge, whatever, at gunpoint in Georgia, in a small precinct in 2008, the FBI came in and at gunpoint took the voting box, ladies and gentlemen. I wish to God that my friend was still alive so he could tell that story. But I've heard it. Now you're hearing it secondhand. There's a 12th way, James, for you. And it also highlights why you should be armed at all times. Why the Second Amendment? Why you should have a gun at all times? Go ahead.
They're pulling out all the stops because, you know, in spite of phony polls, the real polls, the people that really understand the numbers, understand that Republicans are turning out in much greater numbers in the primary. This is the most important primary possibly in history, because if the Democrats take the House, they're going to try and impeach Trump, and they have, you know, really no reason for doing that. You know, there's no crime that's been committed of the level that would require impeachment. But, you know, if you look at the all of the lack of prosecution and investigation into the Hillary Clinton crimes, and, you know, there's such a deep state ingrained in Washington, D.C., they're just waiting to somehow get rid of Trump. And so, at any rate, I just want to stop there. It's not paranoia. It's like, say, measuring the room that you're in. You take a tape measure and you measure how big the room is. These are measurements. This is not me reading web pages. This is my personal mathematical analysis. I taught statistics at the university level. I taught mathematical analysis, and what I was using was a very common statistical method of that they use in industry all the time, etc., where you take actual data and you analyze it. And three different ways of regressive analysis, I have it in my white paper, show that there was extensive cheating in the 2016 presidential election. This is not paranoia. This is not somebody jumping up and down and thinking something. This is actual data. So just to be clear, and it's going to happen again right now, and you can see it happening because that's the only possible way the Democrats can win. Trump won by a vote. They say Hillary won the popular vote. That's completely a lie. Trump won by probably about 17 million votes. And that's how many were illegally thrown over onto the Hillary side.
Wow.
So
that's a lot of votes, James.
A lot of votes. And she was supposed to win by a landslide. That's why she did not even prepare a speech for, what do you call it, for losing.
Conciliation.
Conciliation. Mm-hmm. She didn't.
Okay, couple of questions.
Yeah.
A couple of questions. You talk about Democrats and wanting to impeach Trump. And at this point, do you think that will completely backfire on them? Or does it matter? Or does it really even matter? They don't care. They're so desperate, they don't care.
They don't care. No, we're dealing with people completely. Well, you got to understand, this is for Republicans and Democrats. A lot of Republicans have dropped out. You will find that like 60 Republican House of Representatives, et cetera, congressmen have dropped out completely, and they're being replaced by other people now. And so you have to understand in your locale. But this was the what we call the deep state. These are the people who just had the good old boy system running in D.C. and was greased for them. And just like in old Rome, when the senators made money with the deals, all the corruption was going on. The money was coming in from the front as they moved out into Germany, et cetera, and into England, et cetera. The corruption that existed there destroyed that country. You know, it took them a while for it to happen. But that's what was going on in the United States. And so when Trump went in to drain the swamp, it was literally, you know, I mean, even his Department of Justice today is filled with swamp creatures who are not doing their job. So
what's the deal with Sessions? I am so sick of this Jeff Sessions. What is his deal?
Well, my personal opinion is he was someplace along the line compromised. And compromised means they have videos of him in illicit acts or something on paper, something financial, whatever. This is my opinion. And there's no way somebody could act the way he's acting and be on the up and up as part of the Trump team. And so anyway, it's really a very unusual situation. You don't find this ever in the history when you go back to other presidents. They all had at least the Department of Justice that was on their side. You know, I mean, at least, you know, and they are part of the executive branch, remember. They are part of the executive branch.
Why doesn't Trump fire them? Right before the break, on the other side, we're going to get to how we can overcome this and solutions and some other great topics. Let me ask you point blank right now. Why does he fire them?
The reason that's given is that the backlash, the political backlash would be so, you know, that it would be collusion, obstruction of justice, et cetera.
By
Democrats.
By Anderson Cooper? By Cuomo at CNN? I mean, who cares what they think? My God.
That is the official answer. So anyway, I don't know. There might be other things going on in the background, but I don't know. But it is a rather strange situation.
Perplexing, isn't it? Welcome back. Our guest we're talking to, James McCanny, jmccsci.com. jmccsci.com is his website. World-renowned for his scientific mind, and on so many subjects. Always a pleasure talking to him. We're talking about the elections and what the apparent fraud that's being set up that has been used in the past. James, why don't you just briefly take us through like a precinct, a county, or whatever. When you get information, break down like a single county. How do you take that county and then you come up with conclusions that, hey, there is a lot of fraud there? How do you figure that out?
Well, we know that from the Jill Stein recount. We have actual numbers. And so if you look at my white paper, the regression analysis, it's the same analysis you do. Say you're measuring a bolt in a factory. You're making 10,000 bolts. Well, they learned this in World War II. You don't have to measure every bolt to see if they're within tolerance. You take a sampling of the bolts. And so the Jill Stein recount was a very good sampling. And so when you extend that across the 50 states and look at the areas, the other thing you do is, for example, look across county lines or precinct lines. That Trump won 93-8 or 7% in a precinct right outside of Las Vegas. And when you get right into downtown Las Vegas, Hillary Clinton won like 93-7. You know, this is impossible. These kind of transitions, you know, it's not like you cross a street and everybody voted here for one person and you cross the street the other way and everybody voted the other way. And then we find that the states that carried that were Minnesota, almost Wisconsin, almost Michigan, almost Pennsylvania, other states like Las Vegas or Nevada carried that entire state. Denver, Colorado, carried Colorado. So you have a single city that carries the entire state. And to imagine that there's, when you cross that magical line, that there's such a tremendous number, and then there were other disparities that if you took the total number of votes that she claimed she won by, they would have to come from certain places where she won. And there's only, of the 3,057 counties, she only won 57 counties. So those 17 million votes would have had to come from those counties, which gives you a huge number difference in those counties, and it wasn't there. So, you know, the numbers don't add up. I mean, when you take down the real numbers from the election, as I said, this is actual mathematical analysis. When you look at the real numbers from the election, they don't add up. And so, so when you go to the, to answer your question, when you go to the precinct level, there was vast cheating at the precinct level where they simply wrote down other numbers. And that's the easiest place to do it. It's the place where it's hardest to track because you are assuming that those people are honest and they're not. On a wide scale.
I've heard so many stories just like my uncle's friend Bob. Okay, not quite like that where they actually drew a gun. I did not hear that. But I've heard so many other stories where people say, yeah, I saw this. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah. And it's like you're so isolated and apart and compartmentalized, you think, oh, well, what can I do? It's not a big deal. It's just one thing. But then you multiply that times thousands and thousands of precincts, and now you get a situation where it's 17 million votes. That's basically what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, and it was in 10 centers. Yeah, I could name them off. She got 1.4 million extra votes out of Chicago. Chicago, not Illinois, Chicago. And so when you see the states that were carried, like California, Illinois, and I think it was possibly Massachusetts, and the numbers simply don't add up. And if you look in rural America and small town America, Trump won by usually 85% to 90% of the vote. And anyway, it's the only thing that saved it was the Electoral College, and that's why it was put there. So that New York and Los Angeles didn't always decide who the president was. That's why the Electoral College there. Or if you can stuff the ballot box in one location, you can swing an election. And so that's what that's why Trump won, is because he knew how to win the electoral vote.
Let me ask you about, now you've kind of said it, but let's be specific. With the races that are coming up, what are the states, the few states that we need to absolutely look at? And then two, as we hear people talking, or maybe on election day or what have you, what are some signs or some bells that should go off when we hear X, Y, Z? Boom. Oh, wow, I should start looking there.
Well, the whole country. There's not a place.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Jeez Louise, James.
There's so many seats up for grabs. And like I say, a lot of the old-time Republicans have left office because, you know, they're walking away with their winning because it's not happening. Lobbyists are way down in Washington. So, at any rate, it's everywhere. It's every place, and so you have to be aware of your local issues. But California is a huge, I mean, and you have some of the big hitters that could go down, like Maxine Waters, that's been there forever, or Nancy Pelosi. Some of these people are in jeopardy of bumped out.
What can we do to overcome this, James? I mean, this is pretty depressing here.
Well, people have to get out and vote in such numbers. Unfortunately, Trump set up a panel to go investigate voter fraud. They didn't do anything. They didn't look at my study, which was before them. These are people that, you know, in so many cases, real investigation have not occurred. If you sent me out, I would have known exactly where to go to find the cheating votes. I would have exactly where to go. This was not difficult to do, and they found nothing. And the way to cure it is to have bipartisan counting in these precincts, but they don't have it. So it's important to, that's one of the biggest ways to prevent cheating, is to have bipartisan counting at the precinct level. And it's not happening.
Well, we got several other subjects. So let me reiterate here. So if we landslide the ballots, they're cheating, just their algorithms, what have you, they just can't overcome it.
Correct. Yeah.
And that's basically what happened with Trump's election. America landslided the syndicate here.
Yeah, they voted in such vast numbers that the level of cheating, he simply beat it. You know.
Wow.
And that's.
Does that surprise you? Is that amazing to you? You know, you look at this harder than just about anybody. Was that amazing to you?
Yeah. Yeah. For the American population to come out in such numbers that they could beat that level of cheating, you know, and you look at the odds when he was against, you know, in 17 candidates for the Republican Party, and one by one, you know, he stomped them and moved them out of the way, and then had to face the Clinton-Bush. Remember that it was the Bush family behind Hillary in all of their power and the Republican Party that was pushing for Hillary. For him to upset that apple cart was, beyond Herculean.
Wow.
In the political sense.
Well, let's get to Syria real quick. Obviously, something's going, or at least Syria claims something's going on, that America used white phosphorus powder dumped on the Syrian people. They're going back and forth. He said, she said, we claimed that Assad did. I mean, who knows what the truth is. What's going on in Syria here? This is interesting.
Well, the latest report that I saw was a few hours ago that America is denying that it did anything. They're on ready alert there. They have not done any flights. They have not done any bombing. But American-made airplanes are dumping white phosphorus, which the U.S. does not even use. So somebody with American planes is dumping white phosphorus bombs, and that's being observed. So take it from there. Who's doing that?
Well, there's very few places that there are very few countries that have American planes. One of them, we don't want to accuse people, but one of them might be our good old friends Israel, right?
Well,
might be Saudi Arabia.
We don't know, and I'm not going to say anything lest I be called a whatever. But that's what's going on.
A logical person? What do you mean? Somebody that can add 1 + 1? Called what? Logical?
But who benefits from Syria having problems with Russia and the United States? You know, and I can imagine that Putin and Trump are on the phone together, and that's why the United States probably has not done anything, because we're trying to sort this out, you know, as to who is actually doing this. But somebody is trying to cause problems there, and we've seen this before, and we know who flew the American planes in before dropping bombs on Syria. So, you know, unmarked American-built airplanes. So I don't have an answer other than that's the situation. The U.S. denies it. They don't have white phosphorus bombs. Russia is denying it also. Someone is in there trying to stir up the pot.
Well, join the club. I mean, it's become a diluted enigma wrapped inside a riddle, as Joe Pesci said in that movie.